Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe home.
812 on the west coast of the United States. If you're in the D.C. area or on the east coast and you're waiting for lunch, yeah, you got 48 minutes before your fat ass can eat, so have a snack. Just kidding, come on. Joining me is a friend of mine who's he's an east coaster and former Marine officer, former Marines. He's not on active duty, so don't anybody get your thong in a knot and start sending me, "Matt, you're a dumbass, blah, 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 blah." So with that said, Terry Walsh joins the program. Buddy, what's going on? How are you?
Good morning, Mac. How are you?
I got no issues. I got no issues. I put my Christmas lights up over the weekend, and that thing's pretty locked on. That was a pretty locked on event. And then got a Christmas tree, got 40 feet of lights on the Christmas tree, and it does have the Christmas tree. And we're not talking about an 18-foot Christmas tree either. I'm not sure, like, so I was a little bit vexed by that. What? My daughters are saying, "Dad, it only covers half the tree." I said, "That's bullshit." All right.
That's impressive, buddy.
Well, I don't know if it's impressive, but, so yeah, I've got kind of an early start relative to my normal mode is I push a lot of this stuff later. Not the lights, because lights have always been important to me. So, but I push everything else a little bit later. So, yeah. How about you? Did you got your Christmas stuff up?
No, not yet, man.
See,
we're working on it, though.
All right, now, so, first of all, we need to learn about you. People don't know you here on All Marine Radio, so we're going to introduce them to you. So, just answer the following interrogation.
Sure.
All right. Born and raised where?
Well, I was born in Loring Air Force Base in Caribou, Maine. My father was in the Air Force. So that's where I was born, and then moved to with him to Merced, California, at Atwater, at Castle Air Force Base. He retired, and we moved back to the East Coast and lived in Pennsylvania and upstate New York.
Binghamton, chiefly, right?
Yeah, Binghamton, New York.
What's the
as you remember, Mac, from me explaining at the basic school that I attended, Binghamton University, the Harvard of the public schools.
Otherwise known as SUNY Binghamton.
Right. Well, they changed it. It's now Binghamton University, but yeah.
Oh, Binghamton,
yeah,
University.
Upgrade.
Wow. Well, there you go. Hey, we all like that. Will they issue you a new diploma?
No. No, they will not.
Just checking. What would you say is the chief benefit from living in the Binghamton area? What is Binghamton chiefly known for? So if I ask a Marine that walks into the middle of something I'm doing, in the middle of some godforsaken place on the planet, and I say, "Hey, where are you from?" And they'll say, "Grand Forks, North Dakota." Really? That's a shithole. No, sir. It's the capital. It's the home of, right? It's the home of cream of wheat. What did you just say? Yes, sir. Like, look, I've been there.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a shithole. Okay, so if you walked in, Lance Corporal Walsh walks in, and I look at you and I say, "Walsh, you're from Binghamton. That's a shithole." How do you respond? Binghamton is great because?
Right. Well, I would tell you that it was the birthplace of IBM.
Oh.
Thomas J. Watson founded IBM. It's actually in Endicott, New York, which is right next to Binghamton. It's all part of the Triple Cities. As you know, your dad was a plate for the Triplets, or managed the Triplets, I think,
back in the day.
Yeah,
I lived in Binghamton for a summer, 1963.
So I think that's probably the biggest is IBM. I think the next one is Endicott Johnson. People might remember that.
No.
From
no.
The shoe store.
Hey, I don't think you need to go bigger than IBM, okay? I think you're safe with that. You're good. First of all, IBM blows cream of wheat out of the water right there.
There
okay?
you go.
So you're safe. How does the, so where do you go to college, and then how does the Marine Corps get on your horizon? Because you're an Air Force kid, right? So you think the Wild Blue Yonder is a thing. Were you just that kid who said, oh, yeah, I got to join the Marine Corps, show my dad that he's really a wuss? Where do you go to college, and when does the Marine Corps get on your radar?
Well, like I mentioned, I went to Binghamton University, and trying to determine what I was going to do next, my father's coaching to encourage me to go into the service. My cousin, though, was also a Marine. He was killed in Vietnam in 1969. He was in one of your old units, Mac. He was in 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. His company commander was Colonel Wiley, and his platoon commander was James Webb. So that was a big part of deciding on the Marine Corps when I kind of knew I was going to be in the service. And then when I went to talk to the Marines, of course, they're at the OSO, it's all about being the toughest and the most selective, and they get you all hyped up. And so it was. From the first visit to the OSO, I knew it was going to be the Marine Corps.
Wow. So you had a chance to meet Colonel Mike Wiley later. And did you ever meet Jim Webb?
No, he actually, when I went to see Colonel Wiley to talk to him about my cousin Bobby, he actually reached out to Webb. And, you know, he gave me some color on Bobby and at what he was like to be in the platoon, and he was in a supply tent and got hit by a rocket. So, never talked directly to James Webb about it, though.
The two pretty prominent alumnus of the 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. So you joined the Marine Corps. How long did you stay on active duty?
8 years.
How did you select becoming a combat engineer? Did you not want to be an anointed one, or were simply didn't cut the mustard to be an anointed one?
No, I my first choice was combat engineer, and I was the top of the bottom one third of my class, so I got that as a first choice, and I think the infantry was always a possibility, but I saw that IOC rappelling and rappelling out of the back of the helicopter and the spy rig, and at the time that was not in the cards for me.
Really?
That's crazy,
this
man.
Is coming from a guy who drove a Subaru in reverse up a hill near Asianville,
right,
and had low regard for his own life, or at least the lives of the others in the car. And I can't believe that you would then morph into that after initially shunning that kind of adventure training.
Right. Yeah. Well, it was funny because before I came up, when we served together at the basic school and tactics, before that I was in what was at the time EI company, the enlisted instructor company, platoon commander for the engineers, and we wound up doing both the rappelling out of the helicopter and the spy rigging. So it took me, became a man then.
So you were practically a grunt.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why. Let me tell you, I don't think they can, they probably can pull him back on active duty and then JP him his ass. But, and truth be told, they probably should. The way Walsh gets ingratiated to the infantry community at the basic school is he routinely violates, the norms of demolitions on the base. And the way he gets away with it is that when they call out and they say, hey, what was that? That was really loud. What was the response, buddy?
It's always the same, man. The ceiling's very low, and it's keeping the blast down. So I apologize. But yeah, we had some big explosions out there at Murphy's demo range. Absolutely.
Well, is there anything more fun than playing with explosives?
There isn't. It's a lot of fun and provided a lot of excitement at the basic school.
Now, Major Kelly, now the chief of staff of the White House, he liked a good explosion or two, yes?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we were out at the IOC would have the advanced demolition course, and we were in the.
Okay, let's tell everybody what is advanced demolition course code for?
Doing unsafe things with explosives.
Thank you. That's
yeah. I think it's doing things that you wouldn't do with the normal student class.
Yes. Somebody who might rat you out. Now we're inside our own community where the law of the samurai exists, and so nobody's saying shit. So I'll just ask you a very general question. Major Kelly at the time, was he fond of Murphy Demo? Did you do most of your work at Murphy Demo or Charlie Demo?
No, Murphy's Demo Range.
Murphy's Demo Range. A low ceiling. Low ceiling got a lot of people out of a lot of problems, okay? When the ground started shaking and the windows vibrated, what the hell was that? They're out at Murphy's Demo. That's a little too loud. Call and find out what's going on.
Yeah, that was it. And the neighbors out in Stafford, because that's when the area was really growing fast, starting to grow, and they were building a lot of homes out there. And
they didn't like it.
There was more than one foundation that cracked because of Murphy's Demo Range.
Right.
So.
The seismic event that huge.
Right.
Cracking
yeah.
slabs. The all right, so why'd you get out of the Marine Corps? How long did you stay in the Marine Corps, and why'd you get out?
Yeah, for me it was the separations from the family and deciding to come move into the civilian world and have a little bit more stability. I think my oldest Adam had been at a preschool, then the kindergarten, and he was in a different first grade, and he was going to be in a different second grade. So that whole commitment and you make to be in the Marine Corps, I wanted to get some stability. So that was probably the driving force to leaving. And I went into the reserves, so I went
motivator?
For an infantry unit for a little while, tried to make that work, but the commute was too much and trying to establish myself in the new job, it was just not in the cards to make that time commitment for the reserves.
Okay. I'll ask you this publicly. I probably shouldn't. I probably should ask you this privately, but you had a son by the name of Adam who lost his fight with drug addiction. At some point in the future, will you come back and talk about that?
Yeah. Adam died of opiate addiction. Okay. Of an overdose, but absolutely that he you knew Adam and Ben, his little brother, who of course went in the Marines, but Adam wanted to be a Marine as well. So without a doubt, be glad to talk to you about that.
As you know, it's something we talk about here all the time. I mean, over the weekend, you know, you had the head of the Fifth Fleet in CENTCOM's AO, you know, the premier, you know, warfighting, you know, job for an officer in the United States Navy, you know, he commits suicide. And, you know, it's like, what in God's name could happen to a guy like that who's been through that much in his life, deployed that often, so that he does that. So, anyway, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. George Herbert Walker Bush, the 41st president of the United States, passed away late last week. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, he was. I think Bob Schieffer. I was listening to him yesterday, and I thought him saying he was the most modest president that there ever was. I thought that was very impressive about him, and he'll be missed. He was quite a leader.
I was saying earlier, and I'd be curious to get your thoughts on this, but I think there's a watershed that goes with him. one of the last great selfless acts of a president was him raising taxes after he said, read my lips, no new taxes. And he did that. He did that with purpose as a compromise with the Congress that was completely controlled by the Democrats. And rather than burn it down, which would become, right, what we do after him, he compromised, and it cost him many would say it cost him the 1992 election and a bid for his second term. But he did that. If you see his life and the way he lived his life, hey, sir, you can burn it down politically, or if you compromise, you'll do so at the peril of your next election. What's in the best interest of the American people? Well, what's in the best interest of the American people is probably the compromise. Then he would do the compromise. There'd be, in my opinion, there'd be no doubt in his mind what he should do. You know, the political consequences be damned. So I just find him the quintessential American public servant, and just does things very well, but also a watershed moment, because after that, Newt Gingrich becomes the Speaker of the House in 1994, and then we begin to burn it down politics that I think plagues the country today, and we don't seem to be able to get out of that. So
yeah, and he could laugh at himself. I don't know if you remember Dana Carvey doing George Bush on the Saturday Night Live.
I do.
He actually went on Saturday Night Live with Dana Carvey and critiqued his impression of him. So he could laugh at himself. It was pretty impressive.
No, he's just an awesome guy, and I played an interview that he did with the U.S. Naval Institute in 2007 that details him getting shot down what he, 20-year-old dive bomber pilot in the United States Navy. So 20 years old, so he enlisted at the age of 18 and became a naval aviator at the age of 18.
Right.
It's an amazing story, and I don't know how many combat missions, and then he winds up spending the next 30 days on that submarine, because they weren't pulling into port. And so, very, very interesting story. If you missed it, listen to the first hour, and you'll hear the interview that he did. And it's very cool, him talking about his service and what he thought, the bombing mission that he was on over Chichijima, which is in the Iwo Jima area, what they were trying to bomb a radio tower, and got hit by flak during his dive towards the target, pulled out, and ultimately he survives, but the two crewmen who were the gunners in the back of the dive bomber were both killed as a result of that, something that he said he's lived with forever. So interesting. No, and it'll be the other thing I think is very cool is that in spite of the animosity between the Bushes and the President of the United States, he wanted President Trump at his funeral, right? And so I think it's very, it speaks to him and the honor, the way he puts politics aside to live his life and to do business. I think it says nothing but awesome things about him. And I find it interesting as politicians and commentators talk about him, don't you think you should attempt to be more like him? I wonder if that bounces through their head or if it doesn't. So, I don't know.
I think it will. I hope so.
Yeah, I don't think it'll affect them because nothing seems to, but it will. All right, let's talk about your career. So you get out of the Marine Corps, and what do you do in your life?
Yeah, well, I went to work for first, let me back up.
Wait a minute. Let me back up. I don't even know if I've introduced you appropriately.
Sure.
Joining us this morning is Terrence Walsh with one R. He's a Mets fan, yes?
Yes.
He's a Mets fan. They just made a big trade. We'll get to that later. Former combat engineer, United States Marine Corps. We're going to talk about some employment opportunities that he has for Marines here in a few minutes, so we'll get to that. But he joins us this morning here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. So, Terry Walsh. So you got in the Marine Corps, and then you go to work doing what?
Well, I'm trying to make the transition from combat engineer, and you know, my last we were at the basic school together. Then I went to AWS, and then the fleet was filled up, so I had to go to engineer school, Marine Corps engineer school, for the officer course there for a year before I was to be going back to the fleet. So trying to figure out what am I going to do? I'd spent half of the career teaching at the school for the second lieutenant entry level, not only the kind of technical and tactical competence, but the leadership aspect. So I went into leadership development training was going to be my focus. And so I went out and was successful in getting my first position at a Blue Cross Blue Shield. But the insurance industry is not quite culturally aligned. It's a little bit slow and more conservative than I was accustomed to. And there was an opportunity in my hometown for a director of training at a food distribution company, Maine's Paper and Food Service. And I went in and I interviewed for that with the owner, and he said that he was also looking for a VP of HR. So I convinced him, even though I had never done HR, convinced him to give me an opportunity to have that position. And so that's where it started, really, for my transition. Was I was working for the owner of the company, and he was involved in all aspects of the business, and Bill Maines, and we developed a real strong relationship, and he kind of mentored and coached me. I worked for him for 20 years and learning the business, all aspects of it. And so that's how I transitioned. I was fortunate to be able to work for an individual that saw something in me and made a commitment to help me learn that part of the business. And he also loved Marines. He didn't have any Marines in his family, but one of the guys that he credited, Jack Olin, who was in the Island campaign, Jack Olin and another guy, Bob Smith, who was his Marine buddy, both worked at Maine's, and he said helped them grow from a small distributor to a large distributor. So he had a good experience with Marines in his past, working for him and being successful. So that was really to my benefit. So that I worked for him for 20 years, and I always wanted to get back to Camp Pendleton, and left on Maine's on good terms, and found an opportunity out here in Temecula with Southwest Traders, and got the opportunity to be the president of the company. And that was important to me as well, to to get the opportunity to be the leader of the entire company was very attractive to me. And so here I am. I'm in Temecula, and this business, similar to Bill Maines and working for the owner at Maines, Ken Smith, the founder of Southwest Traders, is a real exciting story. He was he's from Chicago, was a wrestler, went to LSU on a full ride scholarship, and one of the summer breaks he came out here to work for his brother and wound up never going back, and started the business with selling cold pressed juices to surfers in San Diego, and grew it to a rather large company, and it's headquartered in Temecula now. So that's kind of a nutshell of the civilian career.
Okay, I want to ask you about transitioning. Got any advice when people transition? You sounded like you pointed your career in one direction, something that you enjoyed. How important do you think? And then you slowly but surely found your way since then. Talk to us about, I just got done listening to a book that said, look, happiness doesn't come with money. Happiness comes from pursuing the things that you love. touching people's lives and knowing what makes you happy and doing those things. I'm curious, do you have any advice for guys who anybody who transfers?
Yeah, I think that there's the culture and the what the Marines what you become when you're in and being part of it. There's a commitment to excellence and an aggressiveness that's part of, I think, every Marine, and that at the core of always wanting to be the best and doing whatever it takes to get things done. That's valued greatly in the civilian world, I found. And, you know, for me, it was experiences early on of being too aggressive and bending some folks' nose out of shape with being too aggressive, but, being smart enough to recognize when you were too aggressive and adjust your approach to tone it down a few notches was important. You're going to make mistakes, and usually for me it was on the side of being too aggressive, either with getting things done and the way that there's an intensity about how you deal with other people and in the civilian world that's a little bit different than the Marine Corps, and you need to be probably a little bit more tactful and diplomatic to get the result that you're seeking. And after learning that lesson, and still learning that lesson today, I think that's probably the most important aspect, is being ready, knowing that you need to buff up the sharp edges that you have, and that culturally, as you transition out into the civilian world, the stakes aren't as high, and people are, they're working, and some of them, it's not their lifelong pursuit and commitment to be successful, and you've got to be more patient and find different ways to motivate them and have them go in the direction you want.
So you got to dial it back. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah. Buddy, when I look at some of the shit I did when I first came out and the way I was very aggressive, it was amazing that people had the patience with me to give me the opportunity to tone it down. Bill Maynes was an important part of that. He would call it being a chainsaw. He said, "Man, you're being a chainsaw." And then if I overcorrected, he would tell me I was being Casper Milquetoast. So the two ends of the spectrum were the chainsaw, and at the other end was Casper Milquetoast.
So
kind of finding the middle ground there.
So just as important is what you want to do is finding somebody that you feel comfortable working with that will give you that chance.
I think so.
Interesting.
You gotta look forward to going to work every day.
Now, that wasn't your first job. Your first job with Blue Cross, you left within how long?
2 years.
Okay. I think that's fairly, you're going to point yourself in a direction. You don't really have a clue because you haven't been a civilian for a long time, and you get back in there. And then you get there, you get your feet on the ground, right? You transition your family and whatnot. And then you begin to say, okay, I know this now. I know this now. I know this now. Let me course correct. And I think that second job is pretty important because you're now pointing yourself in a more informed direction. And I think environment is as important as what you're going to do. Because I'll tell you what, for the right person, I could be the HR director. I could be whatever you want me to be, if I'm on a great team that is doing things and has a great environment. I don't know that even if I was, let's say, the director of education or the director of operations for a company that I thought would be a dream job, and but the environment sucks because the guy you work for sucks, but you don't know that. I think it's I would always skew to the better environment, and then you'll work, you'll get promoted, you know, to a place a job that you want to do, you know, but get your foot into a place that you, an organization that you want to work for, the people that you want to work for, I guess is probably a better way of saying that.
Right. I mean, the civilian, when you come out, they're really never going to really understand everything that you've accomplished or done. So there's having the patience to know that you're starting all over again to, you know, we're very comfortable with earning trust and respect, and that it's different. I mean, they respect that you're a veteran and that you served the country, but they have no idea what you've done and accomplished. And so it all becomes about getting the opportunity and then starting all over again with giving them the results that they seek and the things that they want to get accomplished, that you're part of making that happen.
Got it. All right, tell everybody what you're doing now and what you're looking for.
Yep, I'm president for Southwest Traders. I talked a little bit about, we're a family business in Temecula, California, Ken Smith. I mean, he wasn't a Marine, but he's got all the qualities of it. He's intensity driven. I mean, the Division I full ride scholarship wrestler, built an incredible business. His boys are in the business, three of them, second generation, and very committed, dedicated, all athletes and have the same drive. And we're a growth company, and we're headquartered in Temecula. We have divisions up in Stockton and Fresno. We have a smaller operation in Texas right now. And we've been growing. Our largest customer is Starbucks. We deliver the food, everything that they need to run their operation. So we're the middleman between the food manufacturer and the restaurant operator. So we have the food come in to us from the manufacturer, and then we deliver it, what's called the last mile, to the restaurants. Coco's, Pete's Coffee. I can't name the new customer that we start next year because they're with a current distributor and don't want to panic them. But there are 250 of them in California and Arizona, and we start up with them in April in Temecula and August up in Stockton. So it's going to grow us, where our business is going to grow about 30%. It's $135 million in new sales. And so we have everything. We look for what we call industrial athletes. We're one of the last true blue-collar jobs that require a lot of physical activity. We have in the warehouse order selectors that are going through the warehouse on electric pallet jacks, picking product onto pallets and staging it, and it's getting loaded on a truck in the tractor trailer, and that tractor trailer driver drives around and makes 12 to 16 stops wheeling that product into the restaurant. So the guys that work for us typically, and girls typically look for the physical activity and enjoy that aspect of it. And we also have some staff jobs. I'm looking for a head of our safety program for both in the warehouse and for our delivery drivers. We need an account executive that is going to deal with this customer in terms of their high-level relationship management. We have what we call a driver advocate manager. It's going to recruit drivers and stay kind of their mentoring them through the training process till they're released from training. And so those are the professional spots. And then we also have professional spots in drivers and warehouse associates. And for Marines getting out, like we didn't talk about Ben, but my son Ben, Echo 2-8, went to Afghanistan twice when he got out. Of course, he went to college, and he was a very serious student, so he didn't work. But if a Marine's coming out and he needs to work, this job in the warehouse for us, we could make that work while he goes to college. There's second shift and third shift and that make it very easy. And then for guys in Motor T that were driving trucks, or somebody that wants to learn to drive trucks, we have CDLA drivers so that's the full tractor trailer,
right,
40 foot, delivering the food. So we have a lot of opportunity. We're right in Temecula and on Diaz Road, and people can come in if they're living here, or, you know, they can give me a call if they want to talk about it more.
All right, let's talk. How do they get in touch with you? So your phone number is what?
951-676-8977.
8977. Say that one more time.
951-676-8977.
Do you have an email address that they can shoot you something at if they're interested?
Yeah, Terrence, TERANCEW, at SouthwestTraders.com.
SouthwestTraders.com. I had a question for you relative to all of this. Talk to me about pay and benefits. How do you describe that? I mean, a lot of people say we have competitive pay and benefits.
Let's just talk in the staff positions, like the safety, the account executive, the driver advocate manager. They're, you know, somewhere between 55 to 65,000 as a base, and those are salary positions. Our drivers, the average driver in Temecula, is making $90,000 a year. So it's a tough job. That's the market. We pay very competitively. And in the warehouse, those guys are also going to be paid. And they're not going to make that amount of money, but they're going to be probably, I'd say, $15, $16 an hour.
Just to update a continuing story this morning, the body of President George Herbert Walker Bush has arrived at Houston's International Airport. Right now, the Marine Artillery Battery that does ceremonial duties for Nathan and I is executing the 21-gun salute. If you've never seen that, it's awesome. Absolutely awesome. And the color guard is, as you would expect, is completely mixed, which disappoints me a little bit, but we won't go there. No, it's absolutely appropriate for a former president of the United States. They're firing the volley right now. All right. So they can get in touch with you, anytime. What's the interview process and how soon could they go to work? They come in and they interview and it goes well. How are you hiring right now, or do you?
The drivers and the warehouse guys, we don't start the new business till April, so we'll be bringing them in January, February, and March. But if the right person for these staff jobs come up, we're going to be bringing them on in January, because we've got 12 drivers and 16 warehouse guys we need to hire for Temecula, and half that for up in Stockton for that business. So we'll start hiring them those folks in January. But the staff positions, they're open right now. So with these account executives, the head of the safety program, the driver advocate recruiting manager, those are all, we find the right person, we're ready to pull the trigger on that.
All right. What else haven't I been smart enough to ask you that you want to let people know before I let you go?
Well, I think that there's a positive environment at Southwest Traders, and I think culturally it's not a big shift as maybe going to work for another company. The Marines would be very comfortable in our culture and help make the shift. Plus, you know, not only my time in, but my son, Ben, I think it was 2011 that he got out. He was in for 4 years, and he made the transition. So I'm very familiar with, kind of the modern day core, if you would say, especially the guys that are coming out after just a 4 year tour. If these kids that my son we're friends with and still remains close to, they talk about the greatest generation from World War II. These kids just, they blew me away with their perspective and how their bravery, and we would love to get those guys coming to work for us at Southwest Traders.
Got it. Hi, buddy. First of all, thank you very much. And you've only been out here, for 4 years? When do you think we'll go out to dinner? You've been promised.
Yeah, Mac, we'll do it Saturday, buddy. I'll meet you in San Clemente. We'll go to that spot you want to go to.
Yeah, that I told you about that you went to with somebody else.
Yeah, but he was a Marine. He was going to.
Oh, well, that makes me feel better.
That makes me feel
better.
Yeah, it's a good place.
Oh,
what's
think?
The name of it again? We got to go there. We'll meet there Saturday, man.
Don't worry about the name. I'll tell you when we go. I'm not giving out. You promised me dinner a year ago. Like, buddy, what's going on?
Yeah, man, we'll make it happen. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. After you atone for your behavior. All right.
Okay.
Terry Walsh is my guest.
All right, Mac.
Again, buddy, give everybody your contact information one more time. If you're looking for a job, if you have a background in motor transport, if you have a background in operation, if you want to get in sales, right, if you want to be a driver, whether you've been one or not, contact Terry. First of all, I would just tell you, he's a great friend of mine. He comes from the group that you've heard on this program constantly, Paul Kennedy, Dave Furness. You've heard Tim Lynch on this program. So this group of people, John Kelly was part of it, John Allen part of it, Lou Craparata, Jody Osterman, all these group, they all, we all kind of ran together. He's a part of that and just a great guy. And so I would tell you, you want to go to work for him. And if you want to do that, how do they get a hold of you guys?
TERANCEW at SouthwestTraders.com, or my office number 951-676-8977. Mac, thanks a lot for having me on, and I look forward to getting some Marines at Pendleton that want to stay in the area. Come talk to me.
All right, bud. Have a great day. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, thanks.
That is Terrence Walsh, I think Terry W. at Southwest. I mean, would that make more sense? But anyway, that's not for mine. I'm not supposed to judge people. You want to be Terrence? Really? Holy smokes. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, the gunner will join us, and we'll find out what he's doing today. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio. The body of President Bush has been loaded onto Air Force One, and they will be heading to Washington, D.C. here momentarily. So Andrews Air Force Base would be the place that the president's body would be moved to another convoy, if you will, and a funeral procession, and headed towards Capitol Hill, where he will lie in state in the rotunda of the Capitol, and as is the custom of the nation. So I think it's always very cool when the nation rolls out its honors for somebody, and certainly somebody who is such a great public servant as President Bush certainly deserves that. So with all that said, we'll take a quick break. More of Almarine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on Almarine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on Almarine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the ReadBoard page at AllMarineRadio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nilsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nilsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good,
but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.